I do a lot of marriage counseling. I have several couples just this in the last 2 weeks. Not all that go to our church, other places, and sometimes people are a little bit embarrassed to maybe talk to their own pastor, and they'll call me. And I'll talk to them and give them advice. I get calls from other states of people saying, Brother Danny, we're having marriage. And I'm going to tell you what I tell them.
From HP.
1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 7. And the Bible tells us here, and I'm going to try my best to keep my voice down just a little bit because I got to go all this week, every night. And if you preach like I preach one time, most people, you couldn't talk to it 3 days. I've had people tell me when they first do it. But I've got used to it, and I've done it so long that I can just, you know, go and go, go and go and go. But I'm going to have to hold it down just a little bit tonight. I can feel it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I want you to look. Every married couple, look at this verse of Scripture. And everybody, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he's your enemy. The devil is your enemy. It don't say your adversary, your wife. It does not say your adversary, your husband. It said your adversary, the devil. The devil's the one that's out to destroy you. As a roaring lion seeketh, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want to say this evening, the devil wants to devour your home. I don't care if you've been married 5 weeks or 5 years, or 10 weeks or 10 years, or 30 or 40. We hear about people divorcing now that's been married 30 years. The devil is out to destroy your marriage. We have single people are living like married people, and married people are living like single people. The devil's got it completely turned around backwards. I got to asking myself the other day, why are there so many divorces? Why is it so hard? Like 2/3 now, 60-something percent of marriages wind up in divorce. If you're one of the ones who is not divorced, shout. You're in the top 33%. And you ought to praise God for it. Some of them don't even stay together long enough to get all everything moved in. And then they're done moving out. It's sad. Some are together 10 years, 15, 20, 40. And that's really heartbreaking. Where there's kids involved. And I think there's two reasons tonight why people are getting divorced so much. Number one, a lot of people are not ready to get married when they get married. Is that true? I mean, come on. A lot of people, they just think they feel sparks flying, and this is especially true with Christians. I hear preachers get on radio and they say, well, the divorce rate's so high among Christians, it's bad as out in the world. And I'm going to tell you, there's a reason for that. The reason for that is people out in the world just shacking up ain't even getting married. And Christian people fall in love and then they have fleshly lust and they know it's a sin for them to sleep together before they're married. And it is a sin. It's a sin. It's a sin for you to be in the bed with somebody when you're not married to them. Say amen right there. It is a sin. And I'm going to preach on that pretty soon too. And they say, well, this is wicked. This is wrong. So they get married. And they get married when they're not ready to get married, but they're trying to do the right thing. They think, well, it's a sin for us to live together and shack up. So the right thing to be get married, and I admire them for being sincere, but there's got to be more to a marriage than that. There's got to be. There's got to be more to a marriage than just fleshly lust or sexual desire. There's got to be. So they're not ready to get married. Before you get married, you better sit down and think long and hard. I mean, this. My daddy said you never know a person till you live with them. And that's true. And you better pray and let God lead you. Of course, it's too late for that now if you're already married. Somebody said, well, we got married too soon, I'm on divorce. No, it's too late now. You stick with your commitment and stick it out and do what God wants you to do. Now, the other reason people are getting divorced is because we are living in a time in history that people are more selfish than they've ever been before. Just being downright selfish. Marriage is the leaving of me to become the one of us. And a lot of people are not willing to do that. And that's another thing you better do before you get married. You better think, I'm going to give up some of my will. I'm going to give up a lot of what I want to live with this other person. And it's not just one way. Both of you have to give in. You can't say, well, I've had people tell me, I've had men tell me, say, all right, bless God, I'll marry her, but she's going to come over and I'm not going to change my lifestyle one bit. You don't, a man like that don't need to get married. Let me help just a little bit on this, folks. Amen? We both, you both, all of us both, have to give in on a lot of our own stuff. In other words, if you're a man and you like to hunt and fish or play golf or whatever you like to do, when you get married, you are supposed to cut back on some of that stuff that's just for yourself and do things to please your wife. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible said, he that is married cares for the things how he may please his wife. And so you, if you're not willing to do that, you say, well, I'm going to marry her and she's going to take care of me and keep the house clean and she's going to take care of the young and all, but I am going to do what I want to do. Well, then you don't need to be married. You don't need to be married. And if you are married, you need to say it is not right that Jesus left the church and gave what? Gave what? Himself, brother. He loved the church and gave himself for her. So you guys better think about that. You got to be willing to give yourself, in other words, some for your wife and her peace and her happiness and all of that kind of stuff. So it's selfishness. It's selfishness. I want to say a couple things about it tonight, and I'm going to let you go. I promise you're going to be shocked at how short this is. I can tell you this evening how you can solve your marriage problems. If you'll do two things, you will solve your marriage problems. I've been pastoring the church since I was a kid, literally. That boy got saved this morning. He come out of here this morning, and he was crying. He was crying, old Cain was, when he went out the door. And I looked at him, and I saw me in him. I thought, man, that reminds me of me the night I got saved. And I thought, boy, that's like me. And I said, how old are you? He said, 21. I think 21. I thought, Lord have mercy. I was 18. But you think when you're 18 that you're real old. But you're really not. You're really not. I thought, well, I was just a kid. I mean, I've been traveling preaching revival since I was 19 years old. 19. Because I have people ask me, they say, Brother Danny, how did you get to where you travel? I don't know. I don't know how I got. I started preaching on the street and reading my Bible and preaching, and here we are. I mean, that's all I can tell you. It just happened. It just happened. And it just keeps going on and on and on. I know what did it. The Lord did it. There's no explanation. But anyway, I got to looking at that boy and I thought how young he is, and I thought, good night. So I've been counseling with married people for a long time. And I promise you there's couples in here tonight that are having a bad marriage, and lately you've been fighting. You say, how do you know? Because I just know it's always like this. I'll guarantee you there's a couple in here tonight, probably three or four couples, that this week, in the last few weeks, you're saying, I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to stay with them, but the only reason is because it's the right thing to do. I hate them, I wish I'd have never married them, I'm miserable, but I'm just going to stay because it's right. Now, I do admire you for doing that. I honestly do. God bless you. I admire anybody who's willing to stick in there and stay in there just because it's right. And if you ain't got no other reason, you ought to do it for that reason. Because it's the right thing to do. God will bless you for doing right. I said, God will bless you for doing right. But it don't have to be that way. Nobody in here has to stay in a marriage like that. Now, let me say something to you tonight. These walls right here have got just a little bit dirty in the last 3 years. I can see handprints there. I can see handprints there. That's because when y'all come to quiet, you put your hand on here, it gets dirty. I mean, our carpet, it's dirty right here. We need to have it cleaned up. The parking lot out there, the weeds out there need to be cut. I mean, these chandeliers need to be cleaned. I don't know if we got our frame jig changed the other day, didn't we, Ron? We got our what you call it, stupid thing? Air filters. I'm thinking about marriage problems. That's a hard thing about air filters. And we got them changed the other day. But look, hey, everybody listen. Your marriage is just like this building. You have to work at it and you have to work on it. You have to work on it. I don't know why in the world people think
They got to have the oil changed in their car. They got to have their car wiped. They have to weed eat around the house. They have to scrub the floors. But you just automatically stay in love. I'm telling you, brother, just like the devil don't even care about that floor and them weeds. He's trying to bust you and your family up so he can have your children and kids and take them to hell. And if the house needs work, your marriage has to have work. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something, brother. The devil will devour your home. And I tell you, most of you men are oblivious to it. I talk to men, sometimes when I have marriage counseling, I talk to them separate because they won't be honest in front of each other. And I say, all right, ma'am, tell me what's wrong. And she says, Brother Danny, I'll tell him. He just says, he never shows me no affection. He never tells me he loves me. I feel like I'm alone. And this guy at work's flirting with me, and he makes me feel special. And I'm about ready to leave, and I'm about to blow my brains out. And he won't help me take care of the kids and everything. And I have him come in, and I say, what's wrong with your marriage? He says, nothing, everything's fine. That's the truth. That's the truth. As long as he's got his belly fed, as long as he's got his clothes to wear, as long as he's fine. And the man has no idea how the devil is working on his wife. Listen, it don't take a scientist to figure out what did the devil do to Adam and Eve. Did he come over here and say, hey Adam, you want to go get drunk? No. He went to that woman, the weaker vessel. And the devil said, well, hello there, Sister Eve. You got any problems? She said, no. Can't do my Eve voice, I'm hoarse. And the devil said, are you and Adam in love? And she said, yes, he thinks I'm the only woman in this world. And the devil says, well, Eve, I tell you what, you can have a better marriage if you'd have a bite of this right here. And you know, he talked her into it. He deceived her. Now what the Bible said the devil do to you girls while you're at home, and it's really bad you got soap operas on, it's really bad you're letting demons come into your house. The Bible said they creep in the houses and lead captive silly women. If you're listening to radio and listening to Miranda Lambert, whatever her name is, sweet nail on the heels. If you're listening to that, the devil is going to come in you and he's going to say, your husband don't love you, your husband don't care about you, he don't do this. And he'll make you see like the bad things he does and not the good things he does. And he'll start working on your mind and working on your mind and working on your mind. And you say, when he gets home, I'm going to bless him out. When he gets home, I'm going to cuss him out. When he gets home, and as soon as he walks through the door, you start on him and start fussing and raising Cain at it. And then the devil gets in him because that sweet little hussy at work is so sweet and so nice and smells so good. And his wife just fussed. You know what that man tell me? Let me just haul off there a couple things here and we'll go. You know what that man tell me? He called me. He's a preacher. He said, we're having a marriage problem, Brother Danny. You pray for me. He said, my wife won't have nothing to do with me. He said, she won't show me no kind of affection. He said, she just cut me off completely. He said, I feel like there's a wall in between me and her. And I said, well, you don't think something's going on, do you? He said, well, I don't know. But he said, she sure has been acting funny. I said, she been listening to the wrong kind of music? Yep. She been changing the way she dresses? Yep. She been losing weight? Yep. She been wanting to get a tan? Yep. All the signs, you know. That don't mean you're, if you do those things, that don't mean you're running around, but those are all signs. I got 20 of them. I have a message. You want me to preach it one of these days? How you can know your mate is having an affair. And there's 20 signs that I've got. I'll publish them in a book one of these days. I preached that sermon one time in Marion a long time ago, and this fellow came up to me and he said, Brother Danny, my wife's got 18 out of that 20. I said, you got problems. And it wasn't but a few weeks, so he had a private eye follow her to Gatlinburg with some guy and videoed him going in a motel room. So I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. James Dobson don't have a clue the stuff I'm preaching to you. He don't. He's pretty good on some stuff, but he don't have an idea what I'm talking about tonight. I'm telling you, brother, this stuff is real and the devil works it. You know what that preacher told me? I said, well, brother, I mean, she don't. He said, no, man, I try to kiss her. She pulls away from me. He said, my wife wears more clothes to bed than she does to work. I I'll give you something to think about for a few minutes. So if your wife wears more clothes than bed, she doesn't work, you got problems. Lord have mercy. I didn't know I was going to say all that. Amen. Did you know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7? I mean, let's turn over there and look at it. This ain't in the message tonight, but let's turn over there and look at it just a minute tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This will help you with your marriage problems. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and look here. And look here at verse, let's see if I can find it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and it says this. Verse 5. Verse 4. Look at verse 3. Let's go ahead and get it. Let's get 2, glory to God. Amen. Let's just go ahead and get number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's all so good, I don't want to skip none of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now the context is sexually. You can read the rest of it. When it you say, I know there's a lot of Baptist preachers who say, you're not even supposed to touch. Well, we can't shake hands. We can't fellowship. Well, she has to go to a female doctor and she might be a lesbian. Listen, it don't mean that I can say, all right, sister, good to see you. Good to see you, sister. Amen. It don't mean that. The context is sexually. It is good for a man, if he's not married, not to touch a woman sexually. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, well, we're dating. You believe it's all right for us to hold hands? You believe, you know what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says. And I tell you one thing about bad thing about holding hands is it always leads to something worse. But anyway, I ain't going to argue with it. But it does say it's not right to touch sexually. Amen? Verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, that's immorality. People having sex, not married. Let every man have his own wife. And every woman have her own husband, not somebody else's. Verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. That means be good to her in the area of affection. A husband should show his wife affection. One lady told me one time, she said, Brother Danny, I just don't want her. She said, if he would just hold me. If he would just hold me and tell me he loves me. And I don't understand what the big deal is about that, but I've had several women say that same thing. If he would just hug me. And because you know what a woman wants more than anything in the world? Security. She wants to know she's loved. She wants to know everything's all right. And you are a sorry husband, and you are a mean husband, and you are a backslid husband if you won't show your wife, I love you. It don't cost you a dime to put your arm around her and squeeze her and say, honey, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to pay your bills. I'm going to be good to you. That don't cost you a dime. One lady told me, she said, he comes home. He kicks his shoes off. He gets him a cup of coffee and he sits down at the computer. And at 10 o'clock, me and the kids go to bed and he's still sitting there at the computer. That's a sorry excuse for a husband. You know what my daddy did? Before my daddy got saved, he'd go out and play, run, fool them dogs. 11, 12 o'clock at night and go coon hunting. And my mom, I don't even remember my daddy being home when I was little. And that ain't the way you want to remember. Your kids don't want. It bothered me that my daddy was never at home. I don't care if he's making $1 million. A kid wants his mama and his daddy when it's time to go to bed at night. Say amen. The wife knew benevolence. And likewise, the wife to the husband. She's got a job too. Look at verse 4. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. That means when you marry a man, your body is his. I didn't write it. I'm preaching it. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. If you don't want to go with that, you shouldn't get married. Verse number 6:5. Defraud ye not one the other. That means emotionally, that means physical affection. You should not defraud the other except it be with consent for a time that you give yourself to fasting and prayer, and then as soon as you get through fasting, come together again so that the devil don't tempt you for your incontinency. That means not being able to control yourself. That means
You don't do this, wife, put on your pajamas down to here and pull your hair back and look ugly. And be like this to your husband. And then get up and go to work the next morning, man. You got them eyelashes like that right there. Them lips all shiny, looking like, bless God, Paris Hilton or somebody. For your boss, man. And look like plain Jane for your husband. You say, brother, dang, I can't believe you're saying that's what's killing our marriages. We'll dress up for everybody at work and look like a hag, and our breath would knock a horse down. Sit there and eat onions all evening. I think you're married, you don't be against the law to eat onions. Amen? Unless both of you eat them, then just like two drunks, you can't smell each other. I remember when Chris and Jeremy was dating. And they'd go to Olive Garden. And I'd be out preaching somewhere. I could walk in the back door and tell when they'd been to Olive Garden. That would knock you down. And I said, well, at least you're both eating it. Because I wouldn't stay in the house when one was and one wasn't. Amen. I'd like one drunk and the other ain't. Boy, that beer stinks. Amen. But you know what it said? It said, don't defraud in the matter of physical affection. Good. You say, well, Brother Danny, he makes me sick. I can't stand him to touch me. I don't know what to tell you to do about that. I don't. It just means what I said a while ago. Because if you're not careful, you'll start building up resentment toward your mate. And then this sweet little girl at work always looks so nice and smells so good. And he's so nice and polite. You think, wow, wouldn't it? I wish I had, you know. And that ain't the way you're supposed to think. You know what I think every married couple in here ought to do? I'll let you get it. I think every married couple in here, just like we ought to paint the walls, just like we have to change oil in your car, you have to put tire, you need to work and spend some money on your marriage and some time. Does that make sense? How come we think nothing else gets, you have to put a roof on your house once in a while? You have to put down carpet. You have to do maintenance. Sometimes you might have some of y'all in your car, your motor's blowed in your marriage. You have to have major surgery, heart transplant. But I tell you one thing, it'd be worth it to hold it together for your kids and for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been through a divorce, I ain't fussing at you. I ain't. Lord knows. I've had people come in here and sit down and say, well, Danny, we're sort of embarrassed to tell our problem. Look, you ain't gonna tell me nothing I ain't heard. Well, every time I say that, I'm wrong. But surely you ain't gonna tell me much I ain't heard. I'm gonna tell you something tonight. We all got problems and we all got burdens. And don't ever forget this. The same devil that pushes you together before you're married pushes you apart after you're married. You know how before you're married, you can't keep your hands off each other and you want to say, as soon as you get married, What is that? Isn't that weird? You ought to see the faces in everybody going, yeah, that's right. It's the devil. It's the devil that makes you not love your wife after you're married. And the devil makes you not love your husband after you're married. You say, was it the devil that made us love each other before we was married? I don't know about that. It's the devil made you want to sin, I can tell you that. Now let's do this tonight. I've told several people lately, get that fireproof movie and watch it once a year. Once a year. They're coming out with another one here in about 2 weeks. Them same people, Courageous or something like that. But yeah, that fireproof thing going to be hard to top, man. That's one of the best things I've ever seen for a married couple. Every couple in here, whether you think you need it or not, you say, man, I ain't in no marriage trouble. You don't know. I bet you if you talk to her, she might have a different answer. Or him. And say, Brother Danny, he don't show me no affection, and he don't do this, and he don't do that. And I tell you something else you got to learn how to do. Talk to each other. You know what y'all do once in a while? Is turn the TV off and sit down and say, look, how can I be a... You tell me. You tell me what you think I'm doing wrong and how I can be a better husband. You tell me. Don't fight. Don't fuss.
Don't interrupt each other. Say, you got the floor. Tell me everything you think I'm doing wrong. He said, I'm killing. He said that. No. Just calm down. Because you get your chance. And you can tell her what you think she's doing wrong. And see if you can work on it. Make a compromise. I mean, that's people. I mean, you don't just say, well, me and her can't get along, but I think me and that one can. Everybody I've ever seen leave their mate for somebody else got in a bigger mess or worse. Every Christian that I've ever seen leave their mate for somebody else got in a bigger mess or worse than they loved to start with. The problem ain't find you another one. The problem is fix the ones you got. You ever know anybody, when they get a car, they'll have, the tire will get low and they'll say, I'm going to trade it. This thing's falling apart. My daddy said, let's fix the one you got. I know men that if their button on this jacket got ripped off, said, I ain't wearing that no more. I go, son, this old boy right here ain't that dumb. I'll get somebody to sew that button back on. Or something easier than that. I'll tear this one off so they'll still match. Nobody ever knows that. I had shoes like this. I got these shoes at the Dead Man's Store. Them $140 in belts. They're like Johnson and Murphy or whatever they are. And I pay like $8 for them at the Dead Man's Store. And I dress like a rich person, but I just got you fooled. But I had one that one of these tassels. When I bought it, one of them was gone, so I just cut the other one off. I said, look at that. People will never know the difference. Man, them's cool shoes. One tassel. And you know what? You got to do that. Just work on it, man. Just work on it. And I want you to know this, too. Can I tell you this? I want you to know this. I don't know if that's that sock. It's got a hole in it. It is. See, I knew one of them did. See my hole? I knew one of these socks. But I switched them and put them on different feet. I dress fancy, but I ain't no queer. I can promise you that. Not one bone in my body. Man comes to me one time and he said, don't you think wearing pink means you're queer? And I said, well, your wife's got on blue, she a lesbian? People stupid, you know it? You'll get smart if you can't come to church here. You know what you need to do? You know what you need to do? You need to work on it. And let me say this, and we'll go. I got this week of revival, and then I got three more nights at Kevin and Kathy's 2 weeks after that, and I'm done. November and December, January, I don't travel much or nothing. If you want to talk, if you're having marriage, before y'all split up, before you divorce or whatever, talk, we'll sit down in here and talk, and I'll help you the best I can, and we'll pray. And we'll get God in there. The Lord can fix it. It ain't going to be perfect. But it ain't going to be perfect if you divorce either. Let me tell you. It ain't going to be perfect that way. Just hang in there. If you've already been divorced, I ain't fussing at you. Maybe God will give you another chance. I hope He does. Every one of you. I hope every one of you get married and live happily ever after. Sometimes I think my life just meant to hurt and suffer. Maybe God just got that for me. I don't know. To help other people. I have people tell me, do this, don't do that, you shouldn't do that. I don't know. But maybe God will bless you and give you what God wants you to have. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Now, I want everybody here, we've done had a 30-minute invitation. So I want everybody here tonight that's married, just say, all right, Lord, I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to be good to my wife. And I'm going to be good to my husband. And I'm going to be good to my family. If there's somebody that at work that you sort of got a little thing for, cut it off. Cut it off. If there's something you're allowing in your life that ain't right, get it out. And say, Lord, help us to work on our marriage. And we'll do better. Tell him. You think you're all cool and everything and it can't happen to you. You got another thing coming. The devil will tear your home off. He seeketh whom he may devour. Our Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every married couple here tonight.
Dear Lord, dear Lord Jesus, I pray for every married couple healed tonight, and every young person. I pray for every divorced person. Help them never to feel like they're not a part of the church, or they're not as good as anybody else, or they're somehow another second class. God, don't let them feel that way. Please, Lord Jesus, bless every... The devil seeks whom he may devour. Don't let him tear up one more family in here. Oh, Lord God, please. Please, Lord Jesus, please. Please, Lord Jesus, help us to be a blessing to everybody, and help us encourage our families. Lord, I don't want to hear of another family divorcing. I don't want to hear of another family being ripped apart, and the kids having to go back and forth and back and forth and live, stay with this and stay with that. God, please, please, Lord, please don't let it happen here. Let us have strong families, strong husbands and wives. Help us as men, Lord, to be humble. Help every husband in here tonight to humble himself to his wife and say, honey, I love you and I'm going to be good to you. Help every wife here tonight say, I'm going to respect you and I'm going to honor you as my husband. Oh God, please, Lord, please, God, please, Lord Jesus, do it for Jesus' sake. Lord, help us, everyone tonight, start off all afresh and anew, all over again here tonight. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. All right, God bless you. Now, a couple things right quick before we go. Amen. Don't miss Wednesday night. I'll be here. I got to preach tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. But I'll be here Wednesday night, Lord willing. We're going to have a great time. Come praying. Everybody, be here Wednesday night. Don't miss.